Praise the Lord, everybody. Glory to God. I am so glad to have everyone here with us. We will all be, yes, we are here from all over the world. It's so amazing. Wow, it is 9:30 a.m. in Australia. Oh, goodness gracious, praise the Lord. Well, we will have a replay of the class, so if you have to leave early, I know it's different places depending upon where you are. So if you have to leave early, there will be a replay of the class available sometime tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be able to get it up early tomorrow. But we will have a replay of the class. So welcome, everyone. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I am so excited. I get excited every time we have these because it's just a blessing to all just be able to get together. God is so good. Technology is so amazing, you know. There are so many different things that we can do with technology. Let's just go ahead. Before we get started, I know some people have had a chance to print out the notes. If you haven't had a chance to print out the notes, just try to follow along as closely as you can. You'll notice if you do have your notes in front of you that there's a reflection scripture, and then there's a little section under your reflection scripture. Those of you who are veterans of the School of the Spirit and you've taken some different courses through the HEMS virtual classroom and the School of the Spirit, you're kind of used to this format. But for those of you who aren't, that's just a section for you to just kind of write down what God reveals to your heart about that scripture after you've just kind of looked at it and prayed over it a little bit. So I'm just going to read tonight's reflection scripture, which is right here. I'm just going to read the reflection scripture here. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. And we are going to talk more about that scripture as we continue on this evening. Just really quickly, I know there are a lot of people who are joining us who will be joining us in the Fruits of the Holy Spirit class that will be starting in 2 weeks. So for those of you who are joining us now, and you'll also be joining us in the class, just so you guys know, I added a little questionnaire on there because we'll be having weekly chats, and it's just to get people's preference of days and times for the chats just so we can go ahead and set up our just discussion times. So that's just a quick little blurb about that. But let's go ahead and get started. Hopefully, I'm going to try to finish on time. There is so many different things that God has put on my heart for today. So I'm going to try to get through everything and finish on time. If you have to leave early, as I said, of course, there will be the replay. Will be available tomorrow. And today we're going to be talking about self-control versus Holy Spirit control. And before we begin, let's just go ahead and approach the throne of the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. And that is why each of us has made the decision to take time out of our daily lives to come and seek you this evening, or for some of us it's this morning, but hallelujah, we are here. And we're here, Lord, because you have given us a desire to seek you. And you know, you've placed that in the heart of every man and woman on this earth. There's just a hunger for all of us, just this place of emptiness that cries out to be filled. But we have chosen to fill that space with your Spirit, to fill that space with you, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for the desire that you've put inside of us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is drawing us closer to you. Lord, we thank you for your love that is fresh and new every single day. Lord, we ask that you will give us a fresh revelation of your love towards us, and a fresh understanding of your provision for us, your provision that is so overabundant, that just pours out in so many different ways. And one of the ways that you have poured out your provision, Lord God, is through giving us your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that it is through your Spirit that we are sufficient, that we are not self-sufficient, but we are Christ-sufficient. We are Holy Spirit-sufficient. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we thank you for your sufficiency, that we don't have to be more than enough because you are more than enough. That we don't have to be perfect because it is you who is perfect, Lord God. We thank you that your love covers a multitude of sins. That your love covers our imperfections. Lord, we ask that you will help us to day by day become more and more like you. Lord, that we will know that it is not us who is doing the changing, but that it is your Spirit working within us that is changing us on a daily basis. And Lord, so we respond to your call. We surrender to your presence, and we invite you in to dwell among us. Lord, we know that your Spirit transcends space and time, and so it doesn't matter when or where we are right now listening to or watching this message, your presence, Lord God, is there with us and in us. And so we praise you, and we invite you in to speak and to have your way, that your word, your living word, would enter into our lives and change us, Lord God, that we would never be the same, because we know that it is not your will that we should stay in the place that we are, but Lord, you want to grow us and take us deeper in you, and we answer that call, and we say, hallelujah, Lord, take us deeper, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, can everyone hear me? I figured after I'm finished praying, I should make sure that everyone can hear me. It looks like people can hear me. Praise God. I realize that would probably be a good thing to ask. Glory to God, but we are here. Okay, yeah, we are going to be implementing where people will be able to talk and ask questions probably in a couple lessons from now, but I'm still working out the technology. So we will just be interacting through the chat today, and then maybe at a later date, those of you who have mics will be able to actually conversate with one another. But I'm still learning the new technology, praise the Lord. And like, as I said last lesson, if you were here with us last month, I will probably not pay attention to the chat on the side until we get to the questions section, just so that I don't get distracted, because my brain is likes to stay focused. I am focused in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and begin with our lesson today. Hallelujah. As I said, we are talking about self-control versus Holy Spirit control. You know, in today's society, we hear a lot of things like, you know, we hear people talking about self-improvement and self-help. And we're just going to kind of go through a couple definitions here. And when we talk about self-improvement and self-help, we're talking about the practice of bettering oneself without relying on the assistance of others. The practice of bettering oneself without relying on the assistance of others. And we look at that and we say, that's what I need, right? I need self-improvement. I need self-help. I need to fix myself. There's something in me that is broken. There's something in me that's not working right. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to find a book at a bookstore, and it's going to help me fix myself. Another thing we hear a lot about these days is self-actualization or self-fulfillment, the desire for self-fulfillment, to become everything that one is capable of becoming. You hear a lot of, especially you hear a lot of women talking about that these days. I need more self-fulfillment. You know, I have to go and get a big job so that I can feel important, so I can be everything that I could possibly become. I need self-actualization, self-fulfillment. I have to become something important so that I can feel important, so that I can matter, so that I can have value. Self-actualization, self-fulfillment. So something else we hear a lot about, self-reliance. The capacity to rely on one's own capabilities and to manage one's own affairs. Independence, right? We strive for that in our society. You have to be more independent. You know, I can manage my own affairs. I can handle my own things. I can do things on my own. I don't need anyone's help. I am self-reliant. I am self-sufficient. That's something that people take a lot of pride on in our society. And self-control, the ability to control human behavior through the exertion of will. You know, I thought this definition was interesting because it talks about the ability to control human behavior. You know, there are certain things that are just part of our human nature. When we talk about the fall of man, we talk about the sin in the garden and how it really changed. It allowed sin to enter into human nature. And so there are certain things that are a part of our nature. And self-control means that I am able to control my human nature. I'm able to, through my own will, through my own power, I can control myself. You know, it's so interesting because these are all things that we as people growing up in our society, we hear over and over again. You know, I need to be more self-reliant. Let's just go back for a second and look at some of the other ones we talked about. You know, I need to be able to help myself. I need to be able to fix myself. If I'm broken, then I can fix myself. But isn't that what Jesus came for? You know, I need more self-fulfillment. I need to do something that's going to make me important. I need to do something that's going to make me worthy. I need to do something that's going to fulfill me. But really, where does your importance come from? Where does your worth come from? Does it come from something that you can do on your own? And then we talk about self-reliance. We talk about self-reliance, the ability to do things on your own, the ability to handle your own affairs, and self-control. And you know, when we look at all of these things, of course, what do all these things have in common? What's the root of each one? And itself. And really, when we get to the heart of it, even though we don't think of it like this, it's this haughtiness almost, this lack of humility. That's why it's so important as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, to develop humility in a way that is different from the way that we've heard it before. You know, a lot of times we hear about humility and we think that means that we feel lowly and we feel, you know, small and unimportant, and that's not what it means to be humble. But when we have a sense of humility, we understand that it is not us that should be the one changing us. It's not us that brings our own worth, our own importance, but it comes from God. And so when we go into this self-control and self-fulfillment and all these self things, it's really selfishness. It's really being so into ourselves that we think everything, what, comes down to us. And so many times we think everything comes down to me, what I'm able to do, how much I'm able to control myself, how much I'm able to accomplish in one day, how much I'm able to do. And we get so wrapped up in self. So wrapped up in self. And it is only through God that we can really break free. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can break free from the bondage that the enemy has us in when we get into this thing where we're just kind of wrapped up in ourselves. And we're going to go into that in some more detail. You know, each of these different things, when we're talking about self-reliance and all these different things, each of these are sly deceptions of the enemy. Each one is a sly deception of the enemy. What is the enemy's goal here? To get us to take control of our own lives. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to think that it's all up to you, that it's all in your hands, that it's all, if you fail, then everything else is going to fall apart because you're the only one that you can rely on. You know, so often we've been let down throughout our lives by so many different people that we begin to believe that the only person we can count on is ourselves. And so the enemy he uses that fear of losing control, because many of us deep down we have this fear of losing control, that if we don't maintain control of our lives, somehow everything is going to go haywire and we're not going to be able to get things back into this nice, neat little package. And so he wants us to try to take control of our lives. But who is really supposed to be in control? Is it us? Are we the ones who are supposed to be controlling our lives? You know, I ask that, and we all know the answer. You know, we're all believers here, and we know that, you know, in our conscious mind, we know that we're not supposed to be the ones in control. And if you ask us, we'll say, God's in control, God's in control. But really, what does that mean? You know, many times we have a misunderstanding of what it means when we say God's in control, because God has given us free will, and we're going to talk about that as we go on a little bit further. But God has given us free will, and it is our choice to give that control back to Him. As long as we're trying to gain some kind of control over our own lives, we will always come up short. You know, even if we're trying to force our lives to line up with God's word, and this is something that is very key, and I really want everyone to understand this. Even if we're trying to force our lives to line up with God's word, if we're trying to do it on our own will, we're always going to fail. And that's something that a lot of people don't grasp. They think that since they're trying to gain control of their life, and they're trying to do it for the Lord, and they're trying to do it to bring God glory, but they're still trying to do it on their own. And that's one of the issues that we struggle with so often, because we are trying to bring our lives into submission to God, and yet we're not asking God's help to do it. We're still trying to do it in our own power. And as long as the enemy can convince us that it's our responsibility to do it, as long as he can convince us to keep trying to struggle on our own, he can keep us failing. You know, this is a large part of why the enemy tries to infiltrate the church with the self-reliance that has polluted the world. You know, when I say polluted, I'm not over-exaggerating here. We have this idea that we have to rely on ourselves, and I really think a lot of it does come from just different pains that we've experienced throughout our lives. I mean, if we're all being totally honest, if we're all being totally honest, we know that we've had some pains in our lives. We've had people let us down. We've depended on people, and they've let us down. And many times, what happens is that we assume that God is going to do the same thing. And so we just keep trying to do everything on our own. We keep trying to brute force it. And you know, the enemy wants to make sure that you try to stay in control of your life. And I put this scripture down here, Philippians 4:13, and I put the Amplified version, because the regular version most of us have heard over and over again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I love this scripture because I love looking at it in the Amplified. It says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. What many times we hear that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you'll hear a lot of people quote it, and they'll just say, I can do all things. They won't say the whole scripture. They'll just say, I can do all things, and they'll stop right there. And a lot of people will look at this in the Amplified version, and they'll say, I am self-sufficient, and they'll stop right there. But it's not I am self-sufficient. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It is Him that holds me up. It is through Him that I'm able to do the things that I can do. Can I do all things? If God has called me to do it, I can do it. But if it's not in His will for me to do it, then He is not going to empower me to do it. And many times we try to do things, we try to brute force things that God has never called us to do. And we try to do it on our own power, and then we wonder, well, why isn't this working? I thought I could do all things. I thought I could do all things. Why didn't God work? Why didn't God give me that job I wanted? He said I could do all things, and that's the job I wanted. Why couldn't I get that? Why? Because, see, you're still trying to be in control. You're trying to guide your life in the direction that you want it to go in. And since you're the one guiding, you're only able to go on your own power. But when you allow Him to be the one that's guiding, when you learn how to really listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit guiding you, and that is such an important thing, really, as a believer, that is one of the most important things you can ever learn to do. And that is learning how to listen to and follow the voice of God speaking into your life. And that is still for us as believers today. That is still something that each of us can learn to do. And we're not going to go into that too much today, but I just really want to stress that if you have one doubt in your mind that you can't, if you just a little piece of you thinks, I don't know, Sister Mary, I don't know if I can really hear from God. I don't know if He'll really guide me. You know, why would He care about the details of my life? He cares because He loves you. And He wants to be right in the midst of every single area of your life. He is interested in the details of your existence. And you know, those of you who know me know that I can get off on tangents. So I'm not going to go off on a tangent here because we have a lot to cover today. But that is something that I just really want you to open your heart to. If there's any doubt in your mind, I really want you to allow God to renew your mind to be in line with His word. Because His word says that His sheep hear His voice. That's His promise to you. Hallelujah. And I've done classes on hearing the voice of God, and so I'm not going to recreate those, but it's so important. It's so important that we really believe when He says we can hear Him. We believe it, and we receive it for ourselves. The self-reliance cycle we're talking about, I am self-sufficient through what? Through Christ's sufficiency, through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. That's what makes me self-sufficient. The self-reliance cycle. We're just going to talk about this really quickly. And the cycle starts right here. If He can keep you in control, He can keep you failing. When I'm talking about He right now, I'm talking about the enemy. If He can keep you in control, He can keep you failing. Because as long as you're the one that's running things, things will never work out the way that God has them to work out for you. The plan that He has for you, as long as you're trying to bring it to pass, it's always going to fall short. You know, as long as you're trying to walk in the fruits of the Spirit by your own power, as long as you're trying to have joy and you're trying to love people that are unlovely and you're trying to forgive people who have done horrible things to you and you're trying to control your anger and you're trying to, I just want to be a good Christian. I know, I want to stop overeating. I know God is calling me to lose weight. I need to kick these cigarettes. They are controlling me, and I know that God doesn't want me in this prison. I want to be free. And yet, as long as you keep doing it on your own power, you're going to keep failing. And then we're going to move down here. If the enemy can keep you failing, he can keep you feeling guilty. And this is such a key. Because I want us all to realize, you know, there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And when the Bible says that, that means that when we are in Christ Jesus, when our sins are under the blood of Jesus and we have received Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit does not come to condemn us. Now, we do we receive, you know, he'll tell us when we're wrong. But he's not going to condemn us and try to make us feel bad about ourselves and make us feel like we're nothing. That's the enemy who comes to bring guilt. But you know, as long as the enemy can keep us failing and keep us feeling guilty and unworthy of God's love and unworthy of God's presence, and why would God speak to me? I'm making so many mistakes. Why would he speak to me? And we're under all of this guilt. As long as he can keep you feeling guilty, he can keep you from coming to God for help. Because when we feel guilty, we don't feel comfortable in the presence of God. We feel like, you know, we start putting up these walls. As I've talked about before, we start putting up these walls between us and God, and we say, well, I just don't feel God's presence. And why is that? Because just like Adam and Eve hid in the Garden of Eden when they were ashamed, when we're ashamed of our imperfections, we begin to hide from God. And you know, if the enemy can keep you from running to the throne of God, he can keep you trying to control your life. You know, many times we'll feel like, when I can get things just a little bit more under control, you know, when I get my life into a little bit more control, then I'm going to start going back to church. When I can just get a little bit more balance in my life, then I'll start spending more time in prayer. When I can I just feel like everything's out of control. I just don't feel like I have any joy. How am I supposed to go to the Lord when I just don't have any joy? I just don't have any peace. And we don't realize that those are the reasons that we need to run to him. Hallelujah. Those are the reasons that we need to run to him, because it is in him that we find the answers. It is in him that we find the power to overcome the challenges that we face on a daily basis. Yes, God has given each of us free will. You know, free will is something that really can be quite confusing for a lot of people when we look at the idea of free will. And God has given each of us free will, but he has never kept it a secret that he wants you to willingly give him back control over your life. God wants you to willingly give him back control over your life. And you have to give that control to him. He's not going to take it. Let's go ahead. We're going to read Romans 12, 1 through 2, and we're reading it from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, this scripture is so jam-packed, and I feel like I'm always coming back. God's always bringing me back to the scripture when I'm teaching different things, because it's just, oh my, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you just have to bask in God's word and just his awesomeness and how much his promises are to us. You know, when we read this is covenant. This is covenant, and what that means is this is God's promise to you. And if you keep your part of the promise, he's going to keep his part of the promise. Hallelujah. And so when we look at this, it's talking about giving your bodies to God, giving your life to God. God's not going to take it. That's why he's saying, I plead with you. You know, I'm pleading, I'm begging you, come on, just give your life over to God because of all of the things he's done for you. Isn't that reasonable? You know, all of the things that Jesus has done for you, he has bought your life back. You know, rightfully, each of us should have to spend eternity in the pit of hell. But it was Jesus who bought our life back. And after all of that, isn't it reasonable? Because of all that God has done for you, isn't it reasonable that we just give our lives back to him? That we become a living sacrifice. And then I love the way that God always makes things plain. You know, many times we make his word more complicated. Many times we hear, well, I want to become a living sacrifice, but how do I do that? Well, what's entailed? Well, right after it. I love this. I love how God does this, because right after it, he explains. He explains it right here. He explains how. How? Number one, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. This is how you're going to become a living sacrifice. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Who's doing the transforming? Is it you? Are you doing the transforming? Are you changing yourself? No, he doesn't say change and be like Christ. Brute force it. Force yourself. No, he says let God. You have to let God transform you into a new person. And how is he going to do it? He's going to transform the way you think. He's going to change the way you think. Hallelujah. Through the power of his Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we continue on throughout this lesson. But I love this scripture, because many times I even remember, because you hear certain things in isolation. You don't hear the whole scripture. Many times you hear things in isolation. And so you say, well, I'm supposed to become a living sacrifice. First of all, what in the world does that mean? And second of all, how do I do that? How do I put that into practice in my life? But you know, when you read God's word in context, so often he explains things to you just right in the next scripture. And so I love looking at this, because God really makes it plain. Romans 12, 1 through 2 teaches us two things about controlling our lives. Number one, we are urged to give God our lives as a living and holy sacrifice. To just hand over our lives to the Lord as a living and holy sacrifice. And number two, the second thing that we learn, it is not you or I who possesses the power to change ourselves, but you are to let God transform you into a new person. Hallelujah. You know what that should do? That should just make you go, just let you exhale a little bit. Glory to God. You mean it's not all on me? Hallelujah. It's not all on me. Glory to God. I don't have to do it on my own, but it is God who is going to change me. You know, many times we spend too much time trying to do God's work and not enough time doing ours. We spend too much time trying to change ourselves and not enough time at the throne allowing God to change us. We spend too much time trying to do God's part instead of doing our own and going to the throne, spending that time in his word, spending that time in prayer, spending that time seeking him. And that's where the issue lies. See, we are not God. We are not the transformers. But we are to become the transformed. We are to become vessels of his grace, monuments of his grace. We are to be formed by him so that the world can look at us and see works of his majesty and see his handiwork in action. You know, if they looked at us and they saw a whole bunch of work we had done, how would they know that they could do the same things? But hallelujah, when they look at us, they're able to see what God can do, what he can do in their lives. That's why I get so excited, because I know that when people look at me and they think, oh, Sister Amira, you seem so awesome. You have no clue what I looked like when God got started, hallelujah, and how much more work he still has to do in me. But I was a mess, let me tell you. I was a hot mess when God started with me. You know, it was him that changed me. I remember, and this is just one example, but I remember I had been using profanity since I don't know how long. I mean, I sounded like a sailor, you know, from the time I was like 13 on. And so I was, except for when I was around my mother. Of course, I sounded like a little angel then. But I remember after I came to know the Lord, just one day, all of a sudden, you know, and I had been seeking God and praying and reading his word, and he was changing me, little by little. And it wasn't me. It was him changing me. And one day, the words just left. They were just no longer in my spirit. They were no longer in my heart. And it was just amazing to me that when I went to say things, it just didn't even occur to me. It's almost like I didn't notice it happen. It was just one day I sat there and I thought, wow, those words are just gone. And I had tried to stop cursing before, but I was trying to do it on my own power. And when I just made my goal to seek him, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you, whether it's peace, whether it's being free from sin, whatever it is. You know, when we seek first God and we pour ourselves out at his altar and we just go to the cross and just seek him and seek him, he changes us from the inside out. Hallelujah. He changes us from the inside out. So I want you to know, if you're looking in the mirror and you're just feeling like, I'm just not the person I know in my heart I'm supposed to be, just keep seeking him. Keep seeking him. Take your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on him. And when I say take your eyes off yourself, take your eyes off your own imperfections. Take your eyes off of your mistakes. Take your eyes off of your sin. Just turn your eyes to him. And just keep seeking him and seeking him. And as you seek him, he'll change you. But I'm telling you, that should just help you to just to just relax a little bit, to just fall into your liberty a little bit, and know that your role is to seek him. See, he's the one with the hard part. Really. He's the one with the hard part. But you, all you have to do is seek him. Hallelujah. Glory. But how do we let God do something? You know, this is kind of a funny idea. Oh, yeah, we only have 20 minutes left. Glory to God. Okay. we might go a little bit over. Praise the Lord. Okay. But how do we let God do something? You know, this is so funny because many times we feel like God can just do whatever he wants. You know, God can just come into my life and change whatever he wants to change, can't he? How do I let him do something? But as we talked about before, he has given you free will, and you have to truly hand over an area of your life before he's going to step into it. He is, you know, I love to say it like this. God is a gentleman. He is not going to force his way into any area of your life. Many times we wish he would. But see, we have to do our part. You know, I love when God talks about sowing and reaping. I love when he talks about sowing and reaping. Because if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap of the Spirit. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh. And you know, when we hand ourselves over to the Lord, we're really sowing a seed. And we're taking a step of faith. We're showing that, Lord, we believe that you have the power to change us, that you are stronger than we are. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to lay ourselves at the altar. I believe that if I keep coming to you in prayer, and you know, when I talk about prayer, I talk about prayer a lot, and a lot of times people get confused because they say, well, Sister Amira, I just don't have that many things to talk to God about. I mean, I don't need that much. I can't just keep going to him and asking him for stuff. Well, the reason you think that is because you have a misunderstanding of what prayer is for. Prayer is an opportunity for you to communicate with God. And it is both speaking with him and listening to him. Okay? And so when we talk about prayer, we're talking about sitting there, you know, pouring your heart out to the Father. Telling him things that you have never told anybody in your life. Those pains that are in your heart that you have kept hidden. That mask that you wear, those walls that you've built up, just laying it all down before him. And you know, as you do that, he begins to heal those broken places in you. He begins to restore you, and he begins to change you. And so the first thing, you know, when we see an area, something that I've struggled with, and those of you who have walked with me for a while through the Word of God, you've probably heard me talk about the fact that I've overcome a lot of different things in terms of depression. You know, I've been on all different types of depression medications, and you know, sometimes I sit there watching television, and I see all these commercials for this pill and that pill, and I'm thinking, yeah, I was on that one. Yeah, I took that one too. And not saying that if you are having challenges with depression, you're overcoming challenges with depression, you should get off your medication. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, I've been there, and I've been struggling to find some joy, and I've been struggling to find some peace, and just a little bit of just some peacefulness in my life, just with all the anxiety and all the depression that I struggle with. And it was in God that I found that. Not in myself. It was in going to God and saying, Lord, I'm looking at the fruits of the Spirit and I know I'm supposed to have joy, Lord God. And I just don't feel any joy in my heart. Being honest with Him, taking off that perfect Christian mask and being honest and saying, Lord, what is going on in my heart? Why isn't your joy there? And then listening and walking out the things He told me to do. And seeking Him. You know, we have to become a living sacrifice before He can transform us into a new person. When I was talking about covenant earlier, and I was talking about the fact that when we look at that scripture, it's a covenant scripture. It's one of those, God does this and you do this, but you have to do your part first before God can step in and do His part. And so, what's our part of the covenant? Our part of the covenant is to become a living sacrifice, to take ourselves to the altar of God, and to give ourselves over to the Lord. And then He will do His part of the covenant, and He will transform us into that new person that we know we were created to become. How does God transform us? He uses His Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Glory to God. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. It is not something that you have to do on your own, but it is God's Holy Spirit working in you that will renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Last month, if you were in our class last month, we talked about rekindling our passion for God, and we said that Jesus put His love for you into action. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus put His love for you into action when He laid down His life for you. And once we have truly decided to become a living sacrifice for Him, just as He did for us, then the Holy Spirit can truly begin His word. Hallelujah. But completely handing over ourselves to God isn't something that we do once and forget about it. You know, this is something that's really key. This is something that God has really been bringing up in my spirit a lot. And so this is something I really want to make sure that we discuss, and that's that a lot of times people think, okay, well, I accepted Jesus once and so I'm done, right? I accepted Jesus and now I've accepted Jesus and so I'm finished giving myself to the Lord. That was my one thing that I did and I'm done. But when we're giving ourselves over to the Lord, if we really want to change and become the person that we were predestined to be, we have to make taking our entire selves to God a regular occurrence. And why is that? That's because every single day there are new things that's coming up in our lives. Every single day our life is changing and it's moving and things are happening. And you know, we have to take ourselves to the Lord afresh and anew, over and over again. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. You know, I love this scripture. You know, I guess I say that about a lot of scriptures, but I love this scripture too. Oh, praise the Lord. But I love this scripture because there's so many different subtle things in it, and we can break it down into so many different pieces. When we look at this, but I say walk and live habitually. Habitually. What does that mean? That means it's a habit. It's not something that comes naturally for one, right? That's one of the things we know about a habit. It doesn't come naturally. It's something we have to work at. It's something we have to do over and over and over and over. What does that mean? That means that I don't just do it one time and forget about it. That means that on a daily basis, on a regular basis, I'm going to walk and live in the Spirit. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Sister Amira, I want to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Oh, but God is good. He tells us exactly what he means by that. What does it mean to walk and live in the Spirit? You are responsive to, ooh, that's the key one, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, responsive to the Holy Spirit. You know, God's Spirit is speaking to us every single day. He is speaking to us. And we have to be responsive to his Spirit. We have to be sensitive to his Spirit, and we have to respond to it. When his Spirit says move, we have to move. When his Spirit says go bless this person, we have to bless this person. When his Spirit says go pray for this person, we have to pray for this person. But then at the same time, controlled and guided by the Spirit. This gets back to, what are we talking about today? Self-control or Holy Spirit control? Who's supposed to be controlled? Well, if we're walking and living in the Spirit, then we need to be controlled and guided by the Spirit. And then I love this because it goes on to say, then you will not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. Well, many times we think about the flesh and we think about fornication and lust and greed and certain outward, what I like to say are outward sins, right? But we don't necessarily think about those inner private sins. You know, those things that are going on the inside of us, that anger that we don't necessarily voice, but it's still kind of bubbling under the surface, that unforgiveness that we haven't quite dealt with, that fear. You know, the Bible says anything without faith is sin. So if we are walking in fear, then that is without faith, so that is a sin. You know, anything, when we talk about our flesh, it's quite simply human nature without God. Any part of you that is not being controlled by God, that's your flesh. Any part of you that is not being controlled by God, that's your flesh. Human nature without God. And so when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we will not gratify the cravings of the flesh. You know, maybe that craving is self-pity. Maybe that craving is gluttony. Maybe that craving is smoking. Whatever that craving is, whatever our flesh is craving. You know, maybe your flesh craves attention. Maybe your flesh craves, you know, maybe you're a workaholic and you like to work all the time. You know, as I've said before, that's something that I have struggled with because my flesh likes to accomplish things so that it can feel important. You know, I need to do all of these things so I can be important. That's something that I have to fight against through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through my own power. If you're longing to break free from your human imperfections, there is only one way to do it. Not through self-help, not through self-control, but through Holy Spirit control, but through allowing God's Holy Spirit to control your life. That's how we break free. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. This is getting back to that control. And you know, I keep coming back to control because so many times the enemy makes us feel like bad Christians. He beats us up. And you know, that's one of the reasons that I feel that God's led me to do this class on the fruits of the Holy Spirit that we're going to be starting through the Him Bible Studies in a couple weeks. Because so many times the enemy just beats us up and makes us feel like bad Christians, like we're always missing the mark, like we're never quite good enough. And it's because we feel like the pressure is all on us. And that's one of the reasons that for those of you who will be joining us in this class, that I recommended that all of you come out to this class, to this web class that we're having tonight. Because, hold on one second, I'm sorry. I have to extend the time, my little timer popped up there. That's one of the reasons that I recommended that everyone who will be joining us in our Fruits of the Spirit class come out tonight, because this is really the foundation of beginning that spirit control life that we're going to be talking about. And that is recognizing that it is not God's will that you should struggle on your own. Recognizing that it's not God's will that you should constantly feel like a failure. That you should constantly feel like you're just missing the mark. That you should constantly feel like you're not the person that you know in your heart you were created to be. Because it's not us that does the changing. It's not us that does the transforming. It is not you that will make yourself into a reflection of Christ. You know, many times people even begin doubting their salvation. They start doubting their own salvation because they say, well, I'm looking at myself and I don't feel like I'm good enough to go to heaven. I feel like there's just so many different things inside of me that still aren't, they don't line up with God's word, and I just don't understand, how am I going to get into heaven and I'm still acting like this? Maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I really didn't receive Christ. Maybe I'm not really saved. And so I really want to just stop and explain that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit is a gift from God that is in you to help you bring about these changes in your life. Many of us say that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we have not truly handed over the reins. And there's a difference between the Holy Spirit living inside of you, because God says that each of us is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we've accepted Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it's a difference between having the Holy Spirit live inside of you and being responsive to the Holy Spirit and controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. And many of us say that we're filled with the Holy Ghost, but we haven't truly handed over the reins. You know, if we truly lay down our life at the throne of God, then there should be evidence of God's Holy Spirit controlling our lives. We should be able to look at our lives and see evidence of God's Holy Spirit. And what evidence does the Holy Spirit leave in our daily lives? But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper and forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness and humility, and self-control, self-restraint, incontinence. I know we've all heard, or most of us have probably heard about the fruits of the Spirit before, but I wanted to read this in the Amplified Version. And this is the Amplified Version. I'm sorry, I forgot to put that on the slide. Because I love how it explains what the fruit of the Spirit really are. The work which His presence within accomplishes. That's what the fruit of the Spirit are. The fruit of the Spirit are not something that we can just brute force. They're not something that we can force ourselves to exhibit. You know, I used to look at the fruit of the Spirit and I would see them as kind of like this checklist. And sometimes it was just a checklist of all the things I was doing wrong. Like, oh, yeah, look at that. I'm supposed to have self-discipline. There's another way that I'm feeling. Oh, I'm supposed to have some joy. Where is that peace? And I would just sit there and try to force myself. I'm just going to walk around with a smile on my face and so I'll have the fruit of the Spirit. I'll have joy. But is that really joy? Just because on the outside, I look like I have joy. On the outside of my perfect Christian mask, I look all happy and smiley. But on the inside, have I changed? You know, why are the fruits of the Holy Spirit so important? Because when you look in this world, how many people out there are just searching for some peace? How many people out there are just searching for some peace in the midst of the chaos that they are living through every single day? How many people are just looking for some peace? How many people are just looking for some joy? And then we try to force ourselves to have these things. Are the fruits of the Spirit things that we can just force ourselves to exhibit? No. They are the work which His presence within us accomplishes, proving once more, as we've already said, that it is God's Spirit that transforms us into His image, not us who transform ourselves. And that is such a key thing. We can't transform us. It's God's Holy Spirit within us that changes us. And I think we've gone through enough scriptures today where we've proven through God's Word that you cannot change yourself. You know, a lot of times we look at ourselves and we say, I need to change. I need to fix that. And, you know, we go back to, as we were talking about earlier, that self-help and self-improvement mentality that is so prevalent today, because we think that we have to be independent. We think that we have to be able to fix ourselves, that we actually have the power to fix ourselves. This self-reliance and this haughtiness, this pride that says, I can fix me. If you could fix you, then what's the Holy Spirit for? Why did Jesus die to send you His Holy Spirit? We have to recognize that as a form of pride in our lives when we think that we have to do it all on our own. How can God transform you through His Holy Spirit? You know, this is just a little chart that I made up of just some of the problems that we face in our daily lives and what parts of the fruit of the Spirit God has created to fill those holes. And I really believe this is something that God's just really been speaking to me over the last, really probably almost a year probably, God's really been speaking this to me, how He created each of the Holy Spirit to really fill the holes in our human nature. And so all of us really have the same things that we struggle with. And God created the fruits of the Spirit to fill those holes. And so we don't have to walk around struggling with depression, because He can heal that depression through His joy and His peace through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to walk around in shame, because His peace and His goodness, not your goodness, not your righteousness, but His righteousness, His love for you also can cover that shame. And so if you have the note sheet, you already have this this chart printed out. If you don't have the note sheet, then you can always go back and print that note sheet out later on, and you'll get a copy of this chart. But I really want us to begin recognizing each of those issues that we come across, looking at them as what they are, and that's just an area where the Holy Spirit can come in and heal us and restore us. Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead. We're going to go ahead and close. I didn't go over too much. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and close with prayer. Before we do, though, just so everyone knows, our next class will be Thursday, April 23rd. And it will be from 8:30 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the same time. And, of course, we always have our classes on Thursdays at the same time. Our next class will be Thursday, April 23rd. So if you want to go ahead and write that down, and we will go ahead and close in prayer. Before we do that, I know a lot of people still had questions about the Fruits of the Spirit class. The class is still open for registration. So, as I've said before, this class is not for everyone. I'm not trying to sell people on this class, okay? If you believe that God is calling you to take the class, then go ahead and take the class. If for some reason you are having a challenge financially or something like that, just go ahead and email me directly and we can work out some things for the class. But If you feel that God is calling you to take the class, I'm going to leave the pre-registration price the way it is. It was supposed to change a week ago and go up, but I'm going to leave that until tomorrow just so that all the people who are here tonight who haven't had a chance to register, so you get a chance to register. And you can just go to fruits.schoolofthespirit.org or click on any, if you go to the HIMS homepage, there's links and things like that to the class as well, and it'll tell you a little bit more about it. But as I said, it's just a matter of if you feel like God is calling you to take the class. I really believe that God's going to do some amazing things through this course, and I don't want anyone to miss it that He wants to be there. So that's really what it comes down to. But let's just go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for the opportunity to seek You, Lord God. We know that even in and of ourselves, we don't even have the right to be in the presence of the Lord. But it is Jesus who has purchased back that right for us. And so we can go boldly to the throne of grace, because that's where we obtain mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy to cover our imperfections. Grace to strengthen us. Unmerited favor. Glory to God. Lord, we love You with our whole hearts, and we ask that You will help us to love You more, that You will teach us to love You with our whole hearts. Lord, that is Your first and principal commandment, that we will love You with everything that we are. Lord, we know that there are things, there are holes, there are wounds that each of us need Your help with. But we also recognize that You said that if we will seek You first, everything else will fall into place. All of the other things that we need will be added unto us when we seek You first. And so, Lord, we choose to seek You. We choose to seek You, and that is why we are here today. That is why we have come this evening. So, Lord, we ask that You will continue to reveal new things to us about the things that we learned tonight, Lord God, that You will bring these things back up to our remembrance, that Your Holy Spirit will remind us of these scriptures and keep them in our heart and in our spirit. Lord, that You will use them to begin transforming us by the renewing of our minds, Lord, that our minds will be in line with Your word, that we will truly believe Your word more than we do what we see with our own eyes, more than we do what we feel and our emotions. But Lord, that we will give Your word and Your Holy Spirit first place in our life, that it will become a priority, that seeking Your presence and seeking Your word and Your truth will become a priority in each of our lives, that You, Lord God, may be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship You, Father. We worship You, Holy Spirit. We worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. We pray this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And I really pray that you were blessed by this evening's class. And as I said before, our next class will be our next free class will be Thursday, April 23rd. Of course, we have we will be starting our Fruits of the Spirit class up on March 30th, so you have until then to register for that class if you want to join us then. But our next free class will be April 23rd, so everyone have an awesome rest of your month, and I will see you next month. God bless. let me go ahead and answer a few things that were coming up on the side. Someone asked, a couple people had to come in late. Yes, you will be able to get a replay of this. I'm going to post it if you're a student at the School of the Spirit, it'll be available inside the School of the Spirit, of course, tomorrow. And then also, I will be sending out an email to everyone else once it's ready. Someone else asked about hearing God's voice. I hear God's voice both through reading His Word and then also, I forgot to do question answers. Praise the Lord. I was trying to wrap up so much. But I hear God's voice both through reading His Word and then also just having Him speak directly to me. I would probably say I hear Him more speaking directly to me just because I really work at keeping an ongoing conversation with the Lord. Just throughout my day, you know, I'll ask Him anything from, Lord, what should I have for breakfast? If I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, you know, what am I going to need in terms of energy today and things like that. And so I might ask Him, you know, what should I eat? To, you know, what would you have me do right now? And not even necessarily what would you have me do. I don't say it like that. I say it more in casual conversation. So I hear Him a lot just speaking to me just because I've developed the discipline and the habit of just keeping an ongoing conversation with the Lord. I'm glad for all of you first-time people who are here, who are blessed. That's a huge blessing to me. I always love to hear what people got out of the class. Also, where did the little thing go? If you want to leave a testimony for the class, you can go to this webpage down here and leave your testimony. It says feedback.school of the Spirit, if you can read it right here, and leave your testimony if you would like to leave a testimony of what you got out of the class. They're going to kick us out of here in 2 minutes, so. Wow, from Aruba, praise the Lord. It's self-confidence, is confidence self-pride? No, confidence is not self-pride, but it's just a matter of who do you have confidence in. You want to make sure that your confidence is not in yourself. And that's something that a lot of people struggle in because God doesn't want you to feel insignificant. You know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And God has important things for you to do. And you are important to the Lord. So you should have confidence in your place in the Lord, but not confidence in your own right, if that makes sense. We have to really, in our society, we only have 1 minute left, they're going to boot us, but in our society, we do get very wrapped up in ourselves, in our own accomplishments, in what we can do. And God doesn't want our confidence to be there, but rather to be in Him and what He can do through us. It really, in terms of walking with the Holy Spirit and having God speak to you on a daily basis, it does. It takes time and it takes really a desire in your heart. But if you have that desire, just continue to seek God and He'll make that come to pass.